You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I don't know. That must be something in the air. Now the gunner's not answering his phone.
At a last chance,
Texaco.
I'm thumbing through a worn-out road map, trying to decide
which way to go. These empty miles and their memories, they just linger on.
Don't be a hater.
On this lost highway.
Stacy Lawrence called That's How a Cowgirl Says Goodbye.
That's how a cowgirl breaks a young man's heart. That's how my whole
Gunner likes cowboy music. He likes old, twangy, bullshit cowboy music.
Why we gotta be
sick? If I wasn't there. Hold on, I'm singing to you.
No, don't sing.
That's how a cowgirl says goodbye.
All right, joining me
and
from the great state of Texas.
For all those listening.
The one and only.
I probably speak for, I speak for them, too. Don't sing to us, please.
Hey, it's my prerogative. That's a song, too. I should probably bust into that. Okay, speaking of funny things, Mike, do you remember when we were in Afghanistan and Metro got the crazy high and tight by mistake?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Tell me how funny that. And see, Mike would be one of the guys. Mike's just like going about his day. Metro, the air officer, has come in, and everybody's like giving him the, "Hey, devil dog, motor man," right? And he's taking abuse from people he would never otherwise take abuse from. And then like for the next few days, you have Mike's not there when it happens, right? So Mike walks in the next day and he was like, "Hey, what's going on?" And then all of a sudden he looks, he goes, "Whoa."
And motivator.
And then it starts again. Right? And it went on for days. It was awesome. Now, Mike, talk about the importance of a barber selection. You're a guy, you're kind of a cool guy. Hair is a big part of your personality. Talk to us, how did you select barbers? Did you have one that you would go to, and if he wasn't there or she wasn't there, you wouldn't get your hair cut? How did you do that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was a picky person when it came to people touching my hair.
Yeah. So you had certain barbers at certain barber shops, and those were the only people that touched it?
Oh, yeah. Definitely, man. Definitely.
So,
and it's kind of that way today. I mean, it hasn't gone. I mean, Heather used to cut my hair when I was in base, and man,
wait,
she cut my hair for about 18 years.
Where did Heather work?
She started at 5th Marines when she was like 18.
No kidding.
And then she ended up working at Beach City Barbers there in San Clemente. And so every time I was back in California, Heather was the only one that cut my hair.
Let me just tell you about these barbershops, like in San Clemente. If you don't know when you're deploying, you could go in there and you'll say, "Yeah, you know, I just got attached to, you know, 1-5, you know, like, "Oh, really? Do you know when you're deploying?" And you'll say, "No." And she'll say, "Oh, I'll tell you. Here's your ULN. Here's the flight window." Those women know everything about
seat assignment. Yeah.
Here's your seat assignment. You're going to lay over in Manas, and then, and then you'll be in Kuwait for 3 days, and then you'll be here then. That's what we got. That's what we got here up here on the wall. They know everything about the Marine Corps. So you went to her for 18 years.
Yeah, I mean, off and on, yeah.
Wow. That's
and it was cool because even when I ran into her in North Carolina mid-career, I was out there going to court, some course, and she was married to a Marine, and they moved to North Carolina, so she came here in North Carolina for a shoot there.
How hilarious is that? That's awesome.
But now she's retired. She left the business. I tell people that she retired when I retired, because I was her, you know, the only reason that she came to work.
Exactly. But did you see the picture of Napa Man? He got a motivational cut.
He always gets motivational cuts, though.
Evidently, no. If you haven't seen him in a while, he's grown it out a little bit. I mean, when your kids stop and call you motivator, that's you violated your haircut norm.
Yeah.
But it is one of the funnier things that happens in the Marine Corps. Okay. What is going on? What do you got going on there? You got all kinds of sounds. It sounds like you're loading ammunition.
I was putting stuff. That's the laundry machine. You know, they're high tech now.
The laundry machine? I know. They're crazy, aren't they?
Yeah.
How do they?
No, I'm actually heading out the door. I mean, I can talk for a while, but I'm heading out the door to have a sit down with a couple guys, one of them being a former Army officer and the other one being a former Marine officer. And we kind of have the same mental mindset that, you know, not a lot has been being done for the right type of vet. You know, and so we're looking at, we're primary folks. But it's the whole, it's what's plagued the nation, you know, the Wounded Warrior stuff that happened and all these other organizations that started out with great things in mind, and then somewhere down the line someone got involved or someone did something. And, you know, we're just not taking care of the right guys, the guys that need help. We're taking care of the guys that, and I say not 100%, but the problem is we don't have a vetting system. There's no way to vet these guys. So a lot of the guys that are being taken care of are the guys that know the system.
Right.
The guys that really need our help are the guys that aren't asking for help. They don't know where to ask for help. They don't know how to get that help.
And it's not really their instinct to ask for help.
No, and they're proud people and they don't want help.
Right.
They don't realize they need help. So, you know, after talking to a lot of people here, we've done some things and we're starting to get some stuff rolling. We're going to either try and start a foundation that strictly looks at, you know, homeless type vets, vets in peril of, you know, with mental health issues, that kind of stuff.
Right. Wow.
Not the vets that have a full-time job and, you know, are collecting 100% disability and then want to go on a hunting trip.
Right.
They got their shit together. They're not the guys that are probably the most deserving of everything.
And you know, the other thing is there's a lot of money that goes into those that goes into those organizations, and that's why when you get ready to give, check out, do some analysis before you give money. Because again, the Senate just released a study last year on Wounded Warrior Project, and I know they do good things. I know nobody has to educate.
Yeah. They do great things.
But what the Senate showed, and I think Chuck Grassley, who's he's a Republican from Iowa, I think he is. I mean, salt of the earth kind of a guy. So it's nobody's got an agenda in this. You know, the study said that 68% of the funds donated to the Wounded Warrior Project ultimately, you know, made their way to programs and people. That's unacceptable. And then you have a program, an organization like Semper Fi Fund, where 97% of your dollar gets to programs. And so that's why I say just, you know, a lot of these programs do good stuff. Just do some research before you give so you know what you're supporting. You know, are you supporting?
And there's funds out there that are even lower.
Right.
I mean, there's funds out there that only 20%, 10% get to the Fed.
That's,
you know, you got CEOs of these 501c3s that are making six figures a year.
Which ultimately, when you see the percentage go down that low, ultimately it's not about passing money through. It's about, you know, this is going to be my job and I'll pay myself and I'll pass money through too. But
yeah, because their mindset is, hey, I'm a vet. You know, I started this. I'm, you know, I gotta make a living.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
You can't make a living off of other people's peril.
And let me tell you, and if you're doing that, as long as you're putting those numbers out, and you know, you can tell people, well, you know, 80% of your money is going to go to our administration, and 20% is going to go to, you know, to homeless vets in the region.
Right.
But normally, that's not the way those things get marketed. So, again, just you know, as Mike and I said, just you know, and it's interesting. We just had a guy from a former Marine by the name of Mike Wilson, and he's typical of. We talked about this. One of the difficulties of transitioning for people that have lived purpose-driven lives is finding purpose in their next life. And you don't, I don't know that there's a segment of the class, in that when whatever we're calling transitioning now, I don't know that there's a segment that deals with you've lived a purpose-driven life. Every day you got up in the military, and you know that there's the next. You know what the next milestone is. Well, now you know you're going to go into a world that doesn't really work like that so much, and so you're going to have to find meaning, and that's not going to be a small consideration because the guy I was talking to now works for. Yeah, interesting career, Mike. He becomes an admin guy. He enlists the week after September 11th, becomes an admin guy the following spring, and then gets sent to Bethesda. And he said, so my job was helping, you know, to make sure benefits, you know, for these guys, the majority of them were amputees. And I did that for about 6 years, bouncing around the Beltway, Headquarters Marine Corps, the Annex, yada, yada, yada. And he said, I had to go there. So he gets on a MIT team. He gets blown up, probably about 5 months before we get there, in Afghanistan, and has a moderate TBI, talks with a stutter, takes him about two years to get over that kind of stuff. And then he feels like he's still not out of his system. So he's out of the Marine Corps now, and he goes back as a security guy, which is not a foreign, you know, a lot of guys do that. And goes back and does security, and then ultimately gets out and is bouncing around, and then looking for a job that where he finds purpose again, and he finds out with Yellow Ribbon Fund that is dedicated to housing needs for veterans as well as caregiver needs, which are things that don't go away. You know, I mean, when you take your wedding vows, I said earlier, most women don't see themselves as a lifelong caregiver with somebody that has a traumatic brain injury or something like that. And so, you know, those women, you know, need support and programs that support them. And so they're doing that. So interesting.
Yeah. Disregard the noise. Cause I'm sitting at the table and I'm not talking to you, but then we'll finish up.
Are you having lunch?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But don't worry about it. We're just going to finish up.
Okay. All right. What else is going on?
Not much. Everything else is the same. Doing the campaign stuff right now. Did the judge debate last night at City Hall.
How'd the debate go?
The debate went fantastic. I mean, Ron McDonough. Actually, if you go to my page, my Facebook page, and link to that is Ron's campaign page, you can watch his video.
Really?
Oh. Yeah, so he knocked it out of the park, man.
Granbury, Texas, Michael Musselman. There's a whole bunch of Michael Musselman.
No, just the Michael Musselman.
Look at you. Picture you and your dog and your wife. Picture of you.
And then, like,
picture of you and your wife. Your wife smiling, you're sneering.
No.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Okay, hold on. Fisher for commissioner? Is that where I go?
No. It'll be Ron Massey goes links.
Ron Massey goes links. So did you post it this morning?
No, I did a live feed last night. So it should be on.
Why didn't
it's linked to my page. It's not on my page.
had the best dinner of my life. Perfect stuffed pork loin.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
Tell me about that. There's a picture of it. Stuffed with what?
Oh, dude, we got to save that for another time. That's a whole different show.
What do you stuff a pork loin with?
He did it with, like, apples and all sorts of stuff, and it was so good.
Good. Ron Massengale for County Judge, Justice for Hood. What's Hood?
Hood County.
Hood County. Is that the county you live in?
Yeah.
Hosted by Ralph Kiss? Is that Ralph Kiss?
Yeah.
Nice. Nice. I liked it.
So you can,
just so everybody knows, I liked
it. Yeah, you can do all that stuff.
Look at you.
But, yeah.
Who's the dude in, look at Gunner with his cowboy hat on, a dip in, with one of the Minutemen. Who's that?
He's one of the Sons of American Revolution guys here.
That's awesome. I should go through your pictures, man.
You should.
Just ruined it. Just saw the Red Sox helmet. I'm out.
Okay. Well, hey, what we'll do is, after today's meeting, we talk about this. I'll bring you up to date for this, and then we'll talk about kind of the way ahead, what we're doing.
Okay. Hey, there's a picture that you have. I'm looking for you. It's a bunch of Marines with an Iraqi flag in front of some kind of palace. Where is that? Oh, at the JDAM.
That's at
Blue Diamond.
That's at Blue Diamond. Yeah, that's at Blue Diamond.
Nice. I thought I recognized
that's
that.
That's probably Student of Honor, Jerry Durant, one of the two guys. And that was our group. Nate Nastasi was there.
Nice. Oh, there you are.
John McGon. Yeah.
There you are. All right. Yeah, that palace, man, that thing got ruined. It was pretty cool to kind of poke around in. First night I spent in Iraq, I spent in that palace right there. Down in the basement.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Yeah.
All right. The email question.
Okay. And then I got to run.
My barber
What's
is... It's about having a barber. Mac, what is the basic advice that you would give relative to barbering? Because I'm one of those people that moves around. Yeah, I would. I'm not. Mike, basically, find one and stay with one. Moving around barbers is bad business.
The best thing you can say to a barber is when he or she says, "How would you like your hair cut?" And you say, in silence. And if they get that joke, they're a good barber.
Exactly. The do you get the razor, the shaving cream,
No.
No? You're done with that?
Yeah, I'm shit, man. I'm done. Way done with that.
All right, man. Have a good lunch.
All right. Hey, I'll bring up the date of this. What's going on?
Okay. There you have it. Michael Musselman.
All right.
Big stuff going on. He's meeting, strategizing, going to do good things for veterans down in Hood County, Texas. More of this program coming up next on a Thursday. Yeah. What do you want from me?
Well, you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Yeah, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the grunt can understand it. Good job, Matt.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@oldmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, BattleMug.com.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the South community should be aware of.
The Global South Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. .42 on a Thursday. Mike McNamara with you. Email. Barber. My barber is 1st Cav Division, Sergeant, 1968. I get the shaving cream straight razor on the back of the neck. Old school. Went trade him for the world. Why do people like being barbers? You know? Just a job? Mac, the best cowboy singer was Roy Rogers and Dale Evans. Now that's cowboy music. Oh my God. Roy Rogers. That's not, come on, man. That's not cowboy music. Roy Rogers and Dale Evans? Hold on. I'm going to play you, I'll play you a Roy Rogers song. What did they sing? I grew up with them on Saturday morning. Roy Rogers and Dale Evans. Oh, here you go. There you go. Oh, happy trails. Okay, so let me paint a picture for you. So you have Roy in a pair like cream colored slacks with a cowboy belt on. He's got like the old Western shirt on. Right, and he's got a scarf around his neck, and he's got his cowboy hat on. Dale, they're holding hands, and Dale's got a gold skirt on with, you know, she's got like an 18-inch waist, right? That thing cinched around her waist with some kind of gold belt. And a girl kind of vest on with a white shirt, ruffles, with a black kind of bow tie. With the long tails hanging down the front, yeah, you got, and a white collar, and she's got a cowboy hat on, but it's in her hand. Breaking news from the Associated Press: two students shot inside a Los Angeles middle school classroom. A female student suspect is in custody. The president has flown out to Greenbrier along with General Kelly. Still no release of the memo. All right, here's Dale Evans and Roy Rogers.
Home, home on the range.
Oh my God, are you kidding me?
Where the deer and the antelope play.
Oh my God.
Where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy.
Roy's got a gigantic pair of cowboy boots on, too. White. Okay, that's Roy Rogers and Dale Evans. Okay, hold on. Let me see. Let me advance a little bit. Yeah. Okay. We don't need to listen to any more of that. That is Roy Rogers and Dale Evans. That is absolutely awful. Okay. No, it's not. You know, it's a bygone era. Different time. People grew up with that on the radio in their homes, right? Guys who fought in Korea, guys who fought in Vietnam, grew up with, listening to that kind of stuff, the Grand Ole Opry. Mm-hmm. Here's Alan Jackson singing about a Johnson outboard motor.
It was painted red.
It's a boat.
Stripe was white. It was 18 feet and about a stern line. Second hand from a dealer in Atlanta. I rode up with Daddy when he went there to give. Put on the shine, put on the motor. Built out of love, made for water. Ran it for years.
See, only in country music can they sing about engines.
Piece of my childhood, never be forgotten. It was just an old plywood boat. The 75 Johnson electric choke. Young boy, two hands on the wheel.
75 Johnson with an electric choke. How do you get that into a song, for God's sake? The song's called Drive. This is country music, come on.
Cross the Alabama line, but I was king of the ocean when Daddy let me ride. Just an old half-ton short bed Ford my uncle bought new in 64. Daddy got it right cause the engine was smoking. Couple of burnt valves and he had it going.
Burnt valves? Come on. Who puts burnt valves in a song?
Down a dirt strip where we dump trash off of 610 Road. I'd sit up in the...
Dumping trash off 610 Road?
The pedals, smiling like a hero that just received his medal. It was just an old hand-me-down Ford with 3-speed on the column and a dent in the door. A young boy, two hands on the wheel. I can't replace the way it made me feel. And I would press that clutch and I'd keep it right, he'd say. A little slower, son, you're doing just fine. Just a dirt road with trash on each side, but I was merry, oh, and ready when Daddy let me drive.
All right. Then there's Johnny Cash's, what, niece? Roseanne Cash? What's the exact relationship of Roseanne Cash to Johnny Cash? This is Roseanne Cash's big hit. Johnny Cash, the Man in Black. First album I ever bought. Johnny Cash to San Quentin. American singer-songwriter. Available on YouTube and Spotify. Oh, I stand corrected. She's the eldest daughter of country music icon Johnny Cash and his first wife, Vivian Liberto Cash Diston. She's 62, Rosanna. Roseanne Cash. Hold on. President's talking right now. Stand by.
United was the word he used. It's the most united he's ever seen the party, and I see it too. I have so many friends in this group. And
he's in Greenbrier talking to the congressional retreat.
I think either party has seen for many, many years. So, right?
Yep.
That's good. I was hoping he wouldn't deny that, but he did. He called me, and I thought it was very nice. So thank you, Paul, very much. Every day we're removing government burdens and empowering our citizens to follow their hearts and to live out their dreams. The priorities of Republicans in Congress are the priorities of the American people. We believe in strong families, and we believe in strong borders. We believe in the rule of law. And we support the men and women of law enforcement. We believe every American has the right to grow up in a safe home and attend a good school and have access to a really great job. And we know that for Americans, nothing, absolutely nothing, is out of reach. Because we don't know the meaning of the word quit. We don't quit. And the Republican Party certainly hasn't quit. Because if we did, we wouldn't be here today. We'd be sitting home saying, boy, that was a tough year. Instead of that was one of the greatest years in the history of politics, in the history of our country for a party, what we've done and what we've accomplished. I don't think it's been done. And certainly not by much. We had a year that was almost, I would think, unlike any. It was a tremendous success, and I give everybody in this room the credit, and I give certainly these people behind me tremendous credit for what took place, especially in that last month. That was a month of tremendous pressure, and that was people that were able to act under pressure, my favorite type of person. They were able to act under tremendous pressure, so I just want to thank you all. Because that's what it was all about. And, you know, it was interesting. While we had a great year, we weren't being given credit for it. Regulations at a level that nobody's ever done. In 1 year, we knocked out more regulations than anybody. Supreme Court justice, judges all over. So many different records, so many successes. But when we got the great tax cut bill, and we call it the tax cut and jobs bill, we got that It was like putting it all in a box and wrapping it with a beautiful ribbon. We started getting credit not only for that, but for all of the other things that we did during the year. It's amazing the way that happened. I was surprised, actually. But we got a lot of credit from a lot of people, and all of a sudden they're saying, while he had a lot of accomplishment, and then they went on to do the thing. But the fact is, you understand that. But we really did. We got a lot of credit. It all came together in that final month. And so I give everybody in this room really kudos. We're a nation of builders and dreamers and strivers and fighters. And together we're building a safe, strong, and very proud America already since the election. We've created 2.4 million jobs. That's unthinkable. And that doesn't include all of the things that are happening. You're going to see numbers that get even better. The stock market has added more than $8 trillion in new wealth. Unemployment claims are at a 45-year low, which is something. After years of wage stagnation, we are finally seeing rising wages. African American and Hispanic unemployment have both reached the lowest levels ever recorded. That's something very, very special. And when I made that statement the other night, there was zero movement from the Democrats. They sat there, stone cold, no smile, no applause. You would have thought that on that one they would have sort of at least clapped a little bit, which tells you perhaps they'd rather see us not do well than see our country do great. And that's not good. That's not good. We have to change that.
President speaking at the Republican retreat that's been ongoing, much in the news yesterday when their train hit a sanitation truck. And, you know, this is just me as with the security piece in my head, you know, when that happened, I mean, what's the first thought? If this train's stopping, somebody going to ambush this train? And so, be interesting to see, and we won't hear about it, but, if there, in the future, if there's precautions, taken, if there's something ahead of that train on the tracks, by minutes or whatnot, almost as an advance guard in case there is something, just making sure that everything's clear, because, when I first heard that yesterday, that's one of the things that went through my head. The president continues here.
Included in there is the individual mandate. We repealed it. That's a big one. That's so big. By itself, that would be a big achievement. And we sort of take it as, well, that was included. And ANWR, one of the great potential fields anywhere in the world. And I never appreciated ANWR so much. A friend of mine called up who's in that world and in that business said, is it true that you're thinking about ANWR? I said, yeah, I think we're going to get it. But, you know, he said, are you kidding? That's the biggest thing by itself. He said, Ronald Reagan and every president has wanted to get ANWR approved. And after that, I said, oh, make sure that's in the bill. It was amazing how that had an impact. That had a very big impact on me, Paul. I really didn't care about it. And then when I heard that everybody wanted it for 40 years, they've been trying to get it approved. I said, make sure you don't lose ANWR. But it's great for the people of Alaska. And Senator Sullivan, Senator Murkowski are here someplace. Where are they? But they are very happy campers. Where is Senator? Good, Senator. Thank you. They work very. Where's Don Young? He's such a quiet guy. Where's Don? With Don Young, also. Don, thank you. Yes. So, no, we were always going to get it. We never had a problem with it. But you think about it, that by itself is a big bill. The individual mandate by itself is a big, powerful bill. That was just added on to what we did with the massive tax cuts. I want to thank Senator Finance Chairman and a very spectacular man, Orrin Hatch. Where's Orrin? Orrin is, I love listening to him speak. He said once, I am the single greatest president in his lifetime. Now, he's a young man, so it's not that much. But And he actually once said, I'm the greatest president in the history of our country. And I said, does that include Lincoln and Washington? He said, yes. I said, I love this guy. I love him. But he is. He's a special guy. And House Ways and Means Chairman Kevin Brady for their incredible work. Kevin, where are you, Kevin? That's what a job. I'd call Kevin night after night. Kevin, what about this? What about that? You were always there. He was working. What do you average sleep for about 4 weeks? About maybe nothing. I think he had no average. But you did a great job. Nobody knows it better than you, Kevin. Thank you. Maybe we'll do a phase two. I don't know. We'll do a phase two. Are you ready for that, Kevin? Huh? I think you're ready. We'll get them even lower. But we are proud of you. Here in West Virginia, as a result of our tax cuts, the typical family of four will save roughly $2,000 a year. To lower tax rates for hardworking Americans, we nearly doubled the standard deduction for everyone. Now, the first $24,000 earned by a married couple is completely tax-free. And when I came into this beautiful building just a little while ago, one of the people said, you know, I just got a check, and I have $221 more than I had last year at this time in my envelope. And that one, really, that's what we were waiting. We were waiting for February. And then we got hit with these corporations giving tremendous bonuses to everybody that Nancy Pelosi called crumbs. That was a bad, that could be like deplorable. Does that make sense? Deplorable and crumbs? Those two words, they seem to have a resemblance. I hope it has the same meaning. But she called it crumbs when people are getting $2,000 and $3,000 and $1,000. That's not crumbs. That's a lot of money. We also doubled the child tax credit, and that's so helpful to so many. We've gone from one of the highest business tax rates anywhere in the world to one of the most competitive, one of the lower ones, so that our great workers and companies can compete and win against anyone. We've now given them the tools to go out and win, and that's what they're doing. And they're also pouring back. A lot of you folks, you saw Davos the other day, they're coming back. I believe I brought hundreds of billions of dollars with me back from Europe, back from Switzerland, when I went there the other day to make a speech. They're so excited about this country and what's happening here, and they would never, ever have come. In fact, if the opposing party had won the election, you would have had tremendous new rules and regulations put on everything. And other things would have happened. And instead of going up almost 50%, your stock market, in my opinion, would have gone down 50%. I really believe that because they were stifling it. They were getting prepared to stifle even worse than it was. The changes to our business tax alone are expected to raise average household income by $4,000. Roughly 3 million workers have already received tax cut bonuses and raises totaling thousands and thousands of dollars per worker. And that's just over the past 6 weeks alone. Because of our tax cuts, Apple is investing $350 billion in the United States. They're bringing $240 billion back. $240 billion. They're going to pay a tax of $38 billion, Mitch, $38 billion. But they're going to invest a total of $350 billion. And when I first heard the number, I said, you don't mean billion, you mean $350 million. Because I've been saying to Tim Cook, Tim, we got to build plants here. You know, for $350 million, you can build a beautiful plant. But for $350 billion, they're going to build a lot of plants. And this would have never happened without us and the work you've done. And they're hiring 20,000 workers, by the way. And 2 days ago, ExxonMobil, in addition to many others, just announced that they're investing $50 billion in the United States. So the good news just keeps on rolling in, and it's going to. And I want to thank Senator Tim Scott for Opportunity Zones. Our tax plan encourages this investment. Where is Tim? What a good guy Tim is. Tim, see him over there somewhere? Thank you, Tim. But we're investing in distressed communities to create more jobs for those who have too often been left behind. and Tim worked hard on that. We want every American to know the dignity of work, the pride of a paycheck, and the satisfaction of a job really well done. And we're reaching our hand all across the aisle in pursuit of common ground and common sense reforms for the good of all Americans, all Americans. We can reform our prison system to help those who have served their time get a second chance at life. And I've watched this and I've seen it and I've studied it. And people get out of prison and they made a mistake. And not all. Some are very bad, but many are very good. And they come home and they can't get a job. It's sad. They can't. There's nothing. They can't get a job. Now, the best thing we've done to fix that, Paul, is the fact that the economy is just booming. I mean, that fixes it better than any program we can do, anything we can do at all. But the economy is so strong now and so good and so many companies are moving in that I really believe that that problem, it's a big problem, is going to solve itself. But we're working on it. We can invest in workforce development, job training, and open new vocational schools because we want every American to be able to reach their full God-given potential. Vocational schools. Today you have community colleges and you have all of the... When I was growing up, we had vocational schools. And when I was going to school, I remember I was in high school and there were people in class, one person in particular, he wasn't like the greatest student. And he just wasn't. And yet I saw him one day and he was able to fix a car engine blindfolded. And everybody else was saying, that's amazing how talented he is. He had a different kind of a talent. And we should have vocational schools. You learn mechanical, you learn bricklaying and carpentry and all of these things. We don't have that very much anymore. And I think the word vocational is a much better word than in many cases a community college. A lot of people don't know what a community college means or represents. So we're working very hard on vocational schools so that when all these companies move into this country, we're going to have a workforce that knows exactly what they're doing. In addition to that, when they move in, we're giving them incentives to also train people themselves, because in many ways that's the best way to do it. In Wisconsin, we have a great company moving in. They make all of the Apple iPhones, and they're going to have a big program. They're going to have a tremendous program to teach people how to do this, because it's a whole new skill, and it'll be very successful. We can reduce the price of prescription drugs and ensure that terminally ill patients have a right to try. So important, right to try. You know, those drugs, they sit in there for 12, 13, 14 years, and a person's terminally ill. They have 2 months left, and under the old system, they don't want to give them even an experimental medicine because they're afraid they're going to be hurt. Well, they're not going to be around for 2 months. So they'll sign a waiver, and we're going to give them the hope of finding something. You have people, and I've known people like this, they travel all over the world to try and find a cure. And we have great experimental drugs, but it'll be years before they come onto the market. So it's called Right to Try, and I hope you folks can approve it, and I hope you agree with it, but I think it's so important. It's so important. And Scott Gottlieb is heading it up, and it's the other thing you get is you learn pretty quickly how effective it is. Does it work? But you learn it really very quickly. So Right to Try. We can fix bad trade deals and negotiate new ones that are fair. And the most important word to me on trade is reciprocal. Because we have deals where companies will send in a motorbike, we charge them nothing. But when we send a Harley Davidson or a motorbike to those countries, they charge us 100% tax. That's not fair. So they'll send their motorbikes or something into us, zero. We send it to them, 100%. That's not fair trade. That's not fair. So I like the word reciprocal. If they're going to do it to us, we're going to do it to them. And what's going to happen is your numbers are going to either come down or we're going to make a lot of money. And either one is okay as far as I'm concerned. We can rebuild our crumbling infrastructure, and we will. Streamline the horrible approval process. Roadways that take 12, 13, 14 years to get approved. We used to build them in 3 months. And now it takes years and years of approvals. We're going to bring that down ideally to 1 year. It's 2 years is our goal, but 1 year is our real goal. And we can get it done under budget, and we want to get it done ahead of schedule, because you don't have too many of them. Under budget and ahead of schedule. We can deliver for our police, our veterans, and our brave service members. And finally, after decades of waiting, we can finally pass immigration reform that protects our country, defends our borders, and modernizes our immigration rules to serve the needs of American workers and of American families. So important. One of the strengths of the Republican Party is that we're a big tent with many diverse views, but the one thing we can all agree on, and that's that in every decision, we make it our highest priority to serve and to protect the American people. We want an immigration policy that's fair, equitable, but that's going to protect our people. We want people coming in to our country based on merit and based on the fact that they are going to love our country and they respect our people and our country. We don't want visa lottery. Pick a lottery ticket. Pick a lottery. We don't want that. So we want it based on merit. We have a chance now to pass into law the immigration reforms that the American people have been demanding for decades and that many of you have been working on for your entire careers. We have a great opportunity as a Republican Party. As the Republican Party, we have a great opportunity. We're getting very little help from the Democrats, but I hope after I leave this room, we're going to get a call from these people say, let's go. You know, they talk a good game. We have to get help from the other side, or we have to elect many more Republicans. That's another way of doing it. Really, that's another way of doing it. And based on the numbers we just saw, we have a real chance of doing that. You know, 18 is going to be very interesting, but we've got to do one or the other. Either they're going to have to come on board because they talk a good game with DACA, but they don't produce. And so either they come on board or we're just going to have to really work and we're going to have to get more people so we can get the kind of numbers that we need to pass in a much easier fashion legislation. And to get it done, we'll all have to make some compromises along the way to get it done this way. Now, to get it done the other way, if we win more, we don't have to compromise so much. Okay? With the tax bill, we got what we wanted because we had essentially a unanimous vote. But we have to go and we have to get it done and get it done properly, and we're going to have to compromise unless we elect more Republicans, in which case we can have it just the way everybody in this room wants it. We have to be willing to give a little in order for our country to gain a whole lot. If we're united, if we work together for the good of the nation, and we can fulfill our sacred duty to the country and to our incredible voters, we have really fulfilled a solemn promise. As you know, I have put forward an immigration framework based on many months of meeting and working with Tom Cotton and working with John Cornyn, who was in the office the other day, and David Perdue, incredible people, and Bob Goodlatte, who's out here someplace, really incredible people. And it's a strong bill, but it's a very fair bill. And it protects our borders. We have to protect our borders. It includes reforms that are overwhelmingly popular with the voters, including Democrats. The Democrats want to have, the real Democrats, they want to have their borders protected. But it includes Democrats, independents, Republicans. Americans want an immigration system that works for everybody. And they want safety. And by the way, they also want a strong military. And we have to be very powerful on our military. You know, our military has been depleted over the last long period of time, even beyond Obama. It's been depleted. We've got to build up. This should not be a party thing. This should be common sense. Without our military, we might not be here talking. We have to have a strong military. And I think we're very much on our way from the one standpoint. We're going for funding, which we need, and I think we'll get it. But we have a lot of fighting on that from the other side, and we can't even think about it. We need a strong and powerful military, and we're going to have far more powerful than we were ever before. Nearly 7 in 10 Americans support an immigration reform package that includes a permanent solution on DACA. And I've been hearing about DACA for so many years. Some people call it dreamers. It's not dreamers. Don't fall into that trap. It's just much different than dreamers. And I said the other night, you know, we have dreamers too. We have dreamers in this country too. We can't forget our dreamers. I have a lot of dreamers here. But DACA, we want to take care of DACA. And I hope we will. We need the support of the Democrats in order to do it. And they might not want to do it. They talk like they do, but I don't think they do. But we're going to find out very soon. We want something that is very, very tough and strong in terms of the border. We need to end chain migration, and we need to cancel the terrible visa lottery. And those are the four pillars that I talked about the other night. We call them the White House framework, a plan that will finally bring our immigration system into the 21st century. The Republican position on immigration is the center, mainstream view of the American people, with some extra strength at the border and security at the border added in. What we're asking for, and what the American people are pleading for, is sanity and common sense in our immigration system. We want immigration rules that protect our communities, defend our security, and admit people who will love our country and contribute to our society. I know that the Senate is planning to bring an immigration bill on the floor, to the floor, in coming weeks, and I'm asking that the framework we submitted, with great flexibility, working with both parties, that something very positive will come out of it for our country, for everybody, for our country. And I think that can happen. If the Democrats choose to filibuster a framework that includes a generous path to citizenship or something that is not fair, we are not going to approve it. We're just not going to approve it. So we'll either have something that's fair and equitable and good and secure, or we're going to have nothing at all. And this has been going on for many years. It doesn't make sense, however, to have nothing at all, because this is something that people want. So we will be demonstrating that we are very, very serious. One of the reasons I gave a number that was, I thought, a very generous number was because I wanted to see whether or not they were interested in approving that. Because if they don't approve something within that sphere, that means, very simply, that they're not looking to approve it at all. They want to use it for an election issue, but it's now an election issue that will go to our benefit, not their benefit. But make no mistake, I will not rest until we have delivered for the citizens of our great country so many different things: immigration, the strong military. We've done an awfully good job of protecting our Second Amendment. That was in question during the campaign, you remember, and we have done a very, very good job. For the last 12 months, I've kept one promise after another, and we're just getting started. So often I'll see, and I must say 6-7 months ago, they were saying, he didn't fulfill his promise on this or that. I said, I've only been here for 4 months. You know, other people were there for 8 years, and they would finally get something passed. I was there 4 months, you know this, Paul, and they were saying, he didn't fulfill a promise. But now we've fulfilled far more promises than we promised. And they're having a hard time with that. We have seriously fulfilled promises. I call it promises plus. And one of the things we're doing that's so important that Mitch has worked so hard on, and Don and everybody, is the justices, the judges all over the country. We're filling up the courts with really talented people who understand and read the Constitution for what it says. So it's really not talked about that much. but it is a tremendous impact. It's having already a tremendous impact, and we have incredible people lined up, that are getting ready to go into the courts. And in many ways, Mitch, I think it's going to be one of the most important things, if not the most important thing that we're doing. Defense is always the most. Got to be the most, John, right? But what we're doing with the courts, I think, is going to go down as one of the greatest achievements. So I want to thank you for that. Thank you. And not only are we protecting America at home, we're protecting our interests abroad. It's time to finally end the dangerous defense sequester. It would be wonderful if we could go back to a budget in order to fully fund our military and do it properly and order properly and have it over a period of time and do it the right way. So at some point, I hope we're going to be able to do that, and it should work. And in order to defeat terrorists, we're also asking Congress to ensure that we continue to have all necessary power and everything we need to defeat and detain the terrorists. We can't treat terrorists like common criminals. They are really unlawful enemy combatants. When you see what they do and the way they do it and the level of ferocity, we can't treat them the way we do the ordinary criminal. And as you saw on Tuesday, I've signed an order keeping open our very secure detention facilities at Guantanamo Bay. It's another promise kept. And there's one more very important promise we're keeping. No longer are we making apologies for America. We don't apologize anymore. We're proud of our history, we're confident in our values, and we're grateful to our heroes, and we are determined to create a brighter future for all of our people. We are restoring the bonds of love and loyalty that unite us all as friends, as neighbors, as citizens, as Americans, because when Americans are united, nothing at all, nothing can stop us. We win. As I said the other night, we are a nation that built the Empire State Building in 1 year. Actually, to be exact, we built it in less than a year. Would you believe it? Working 24 hours around the clock. We built the Hoover Dam in record time. We built the Golden Gate Bridge. We linked our nation together with railroads and highways. We dug out the Panama Canal. We're the nation that won 2 world wars, defeated fascism and communism, and put satellites into space and planted our great American flag on the face of the moon. We've healed the sick, cured disease, and cared for the poor like no other nation. We've lifted millions into prosperity and delivered millions into freedom. This is our legacy. This is our birthright. And this is the foundation on which we build our very glorious future. Because together, we are indeed making America great again. Thank you, and God bless you all. Thank you very much. Thank you.
All right, that's the president. I wanted to play just, we're about 22 minutes overdue. But that's okay, because it's my show. And it's my network. I wanted to play for you a little cut, about the, and this just gives you some kind of framework for the immigration discussion. I was watching this, and it's Marco Rubio, and it's after the State of the Union, and I hope I don't have to skip around because he says something that's pretty significant. The Democrats have already agreed at separate times to the things the president is suggesting. In 2013, I think they agreed to end chain migration. In 2013, they also agreed to, I think, was it in the lottery? But I want you to hear a little clip. I want you to hear a little clip of
For a Safer America extending an open hand to Democrats on immigration reform.
So this is post, I think, inauguration speech coverage done by Fox News, and I'm looking for the cut. Here it is, Marco.
Especially to his immigration plan. So it's interesting. It's if you think about the things he's proposing, getting rid of the visa lottery.
Okay, this is Marco Rubio, senator from Florida, right?
The 2013 bill did that. Democrats have supported that before, limiting family migration to the nuclear family. Democrats supported that in 2013. Everybody talks about the Gang of Eight bill. That wasn't the Gang of Eight bill.
Why are they supporting it now?
Well, I think part of it is because it's Donald Trump, obviously, and part of it is because their base is demanding it, that they can't give on anything. They didn't want a clean Dream Act, which is not a reasonable proposal. And by the way, neither is just do border only in the sense that getting it passed. I think we need to do border, and that should be our priority, because we should be doing that no matter how many illegal immigrants are in America or not in America. That's a fundamental obligation of the federal government. So I support all four of those pillars, but I think we have to have a plan B in case it has to be something more limited, like border security, and then something like codifying DACA, but maybe not path to citizenship. You know, we can debate that part, but... But we have to have a plan B, even as they pursue plan A.
Well, you know, so that's significant. In 2013, right, these things that the president is looking for, the Democrats have already agreed to. So, anyway, I wanted to end with that because I heard that the other night and I thought, what in the hell is going on? But anyway, that'll do it for a Thursday edition of All Marine Radio. My thanks to Mike Wilson from the Yellow Ribbon Fund. You can find them at yellowribbonfund.org. So go ahead and check them out. So my thanks to Mike for coming on. You'll hear more from him next week. And interesting guy, has dealt with a lot of the issues that Marines deal with in terms of his transitioning. So it's his story is interesting in and of itself. And then we'll talk more about the Yellow Ribbon Fund as we focus the program coming up more on caregivers and the things that they do and whatnot. So you'll hear from him. Also, my thanks to the Gunner for coming on. So this program repeats itself momentarily. Don't touch that dial. And then the President of the United States just concluded his remarks at the Republican retreat that's ongoing at Greenbrier. So take care of each other out there. Have a great afternoon. On a Thursday, hold on before I say that, tomorrow you're going to hear a long interview. A long interview done with a guy named Nick War. Nick is a veteran of 1st Battalion, 5th Marines, Charlie Company. I commanded 3rd Platoon, Charlie Company 1-5. Nick commanded 1st Platoon, Charlie Company 1-5, except Nick did it in Hawaii. So a little bit different circumstances. So he'll join us tomorrow, and we'll talk about, and he's involved in some pretty incredible stuff. One is there's a memorial going into, so we'll talk about his career, obviously. We'll talk about rules of engagement, Hawaii, and some things Nick's interested in, because the interview is 3 hours. Then we'll talk about the Vietnam Memorial that will be dedicated at the 5th Marines Regiment, and it will have the name of every Marine and sailor that was killed while serving under the 5th Marine Regiment in Vietnam. So they've raised about $320,000 of the $400,000 that they needed. And there's an interesting story that goes behind why they did it. So you'll hear that. And the other thing Nick is involved in is he's involved in the a trip. 1-5 goes back to I-Corps. And so they'll go back to Hue, and that's coming up here pretty quick. So interesting guy. He's written a book called Faceline Green about Hue City and their fight. And he's very candid about his platoon lost 27 Marines the first day of that fight. And 5 were killed, 22 wounded, and evacuated. So, yeah, he's very candid about how they had the fight there. And a little bit bitter, too, in terms of the rules of engagement. So you'll hear from him. So on a Thursday, All Marine Radio, over and out. This program repeats itself, so don't touch that dial if you joined us late. Have a great afternoon.